Madame et Messieurs, bonsoir. I have the pleasure to present to you this evening a case of associated morbidities seen in our ICU department at Dhaka Hospital last year. This is a 51-year-old year for a female without a specific past medical history except a recent travel to PSA. At this moment, I remember you in June 2015, that is the coronavirus endemic episode. The chief complaint was a dyspnea, was a protective cough of a few days duration. On presentation, the patient looking ill, she was conscious. Has 39 temperature, tachycardic, normal tensor. On physical exam, she has arterial low bronchi. On EEGs, on room air, there is hyperventilation with PCO2 29 and hypoxia, PaO2 46. On her count, there is 40,000 WBC, majority neutrophils, conserved hemoglobin, platelet, creatinine, and inflammatory syndrome was YCRP 72. On chest X-ray, as you see, there is bilateral infiltrates mainly on the right lower lobe and a little bit at the lower knee. A little bit at the left lower lobe, mainly at the lower lobe. On day one, she was diagnosed to have severe respiratory tract infection. She was admitted to ICU, started in classical antimicrobial approach, tamponade, procedure, fluvivir, and high flow oxygen by face mask. On day three, ARDS appears with diffuse bilateral lung consolidations, mainly at right, which became white lung. The post-thoracic echocardiography was normal. The report of IO2 on PaO2 was 90. The management here also was classical. We tried non-invasive ventilation, which was failed rapidly. And the patient was intubated. We used protective lung strategy, low tidal volume, high beep, etc. In this situation of salvage treatment, started by escalation of antibiotic, anti-gram negative, anti-gram positive, broad spectrum added, and steroid started. I remember you the mortality rate of ARDS that range between 26% and 58%. On day four, acute kidney injury appeared. We have oligoanuria with increased creatinine level, preserved hemoglobin, and in the initial workup, C3, C4 was low. The first debate or clinical challenge was to know the origin of this acute renal failure. It is a lupus nephritis. It is a drug-induced interstitial nephritis, pre-renal azotemia, or TTP-HS. Please hold. Yeah. We move. Okay. Let's do the comment. Pre-renal azotemia was excluded because the patient was normotensive since the admission. And drug-induced interstitial nephritis was excluded because there is no eosinophilia or no eosinophils in urine. However, lupus nephritis in a middle-aged female with low C3, C4 should be considered. And in this type of situation, we start a pulse steroid therapy, 500 milligrams of Midazolam for 3 days, and later on, later on, doses. And we do the serologies, RNA, ANCA, DNA, and NTGBM. Do modelos que você está sentindo, queimado, forgância, o que nem está funcionando, electrolytes, purposes. Here, in the daylight, the picture is more clear because no optimal response to steroids and the autoimmune status returns negative. And kidney biopsy could not be done, caused the patient instability, and new labs showed hemolytic anemia, thrombocytopenia, schizocytes with low hemoglobin. Here we consider the diagnosis of TTP-HS, and the management was a plasmapheresis for a total of 5 days. We continue dialysis, hemodialysis as needed. As in, this is the second complication and second morbidity. I remember the mortality rate related to this complication is 35% when plasmapheresis is done and more than 75% when plasmapheresis is delayed. By the week 2, patients develop acquired neuropathy, polyneuropathy. We suggest that after stopping sedation, the patient became fully conscious and oriented, but the motor power was zero. The management is classical. This was physiotherapy and to avoid sedation and neuromuscular blockage use and corticosteroid and stop it when once possible. By the week 4-5, here we have failure to wean. Tracheostomy was delayed to the time since the patient was unstable in the past 2 weeks, and it was impossible to do any invasive procedures with a fully equipped patient with plasmapheresis, dialysis, mechanical ventilations, all pumps. 2 days later, fresh blood per rectum. Colonoscopy revealed the picture of colitis and no active source of P. Pentasa empirically was started. And a few days later, extravasation of food around the tracheostomy tube. Here we suggest a tracheoesophageal fistula. We do gastroscopy. The esophagus was normal, but we put a peg percutaneous endoscopic gastroscopy. During the ICU stay, patient developed the following infections, nosocomial infections that were successfully treated, noting essentially ventilator acquired pneumonia due to Acinetobacter baumannii, rat infection due to Klebsiella, then E. coli, catheter related bloodstream infection due to Pseudomonas, and external otitis due to Pseudomonas, and later on, wound infection, it was polymicrobial. The sepsis-related mortality in ICU was 30%. By the week 6, a pneumothorax appeared with the sudden onset facial cervical swelling, crepitus on one patient, chest x-ray is obvious, there is a complete left pneumothorax, urgent chest tube inserted, and negative pressure applied. By the end of week 6, there is a persisting air bubbling through the whole respiratory cycle associated to episodes of desaturation with increased airway pressure and difference between set tidal volume and inspired volume more than 150 mL. Here we suggest there is airway leak somewhere, a fistula, in the trachea one or in the or a bronchopleural fistula. We do initially a fibroscopic exam that show a large full thickness tracheal laceration that was confirmed by direct laryngoscopy in the OR. Then we do a CT chest that showed a bronchopleural fistula, as you see. The debate that was, in your opinion, what is the optimal management for the bronchopleural fistula? It is an open thoracotomy and repair, a visualizácию de acesso à toracoscopia, o toracoscópio que se ajuda, é o toracoscópio que cruza onde afeta a airway via plasma ceiling ou a questão do treatment. Please vote.
Tá bom.
We continue.
Hey,
this one.
Excuse me, Carol, in this patient or in general?
In this patient.
This patient.
And this situation.
Yes. Okay. So, open the anatomy and repair. Okay. But. Bronchoscopic occlusion of the affected airway via plaque ceiling. Conservative management, Dr. Kench. Pray and wait.
In fact, we should almost consider the conservative management. We should put the patient, keep the chest tube without negative pressure for several days or weeks. We can try. In our situation, the patient was unstable and developed high airway pressure and tracheostomy dislocation. We kept her a few days without any result. The bronchoscopic occlusion is still not standardized and still on research. In fact, bronchoscopic occlusion is indicated only in a single small diameter fistulas, less than 2 millimeters. The choice between VATS and open thoracotomy, it depends on local expertise for every hospital. Both choices are true, but you know we are in Liverpool. University hospitals always. Our choice was trachea repair because we have trachea laceration via muscle flap and decortication with open surgical repair of the bronchial defects in two separate times. I remember you the mortality rate of this procedure is between 18 and 67% according samples. Here we show to you the decortication followed by the repair of the fistula. There is more than 2-3 fistulas. This is the biggest. It was repaired surgically by open thoracotomy. Okay, return to our patient. The follow-up. On week 12, chest tube removed. On week 13, she is off ventilator. She has spontaneous breathing via track. We call her mass oxygen. Her motor power and all limbs are 3 over 5 on proximal muscles and 4 over 5 on external muscles. And she eating normally. On week 14, after a trial of removal, tracheostomy cannula, we have stridor dyspnea, and here we suggest there is a dependent tracheostomy, and our diagnosis was post-intubation tracheal stenosis. The debate is a new opinion. What would be the optimal management for post-intubation tracheal stenosis? A, balloon dilatation. B, intracranial stenting. C, plasma argon coagulation. D, surgical repair.
Please vote. You can vote now.
Intracranial stenting. In fact,
okay.
Here also it depends on the local expertise for every team. No ideal strategy. All strategies are accepted as dependent from the lesion scene, and our choice was bronchoscopy with argon plasma coagulation. It is indicated in the management of post-intubation tracheal stenosis. This is a mini invasive procedure with limited complications less than 1% airway perforation gas nebula. And here, so I will show you what we see in bronchoscopy part. It is obvious the stenosis and then the vegetations, those they are above the entry of the bronchoscopy canal. And here the place of repair, thicker repair than previously. And here a small cut of our argon plasma coagulation, vegetations, and stenosis. And this was the result finally, which was acceptable. Okay, on week 18, patient sent to home on track, and we do later on the control, bronchoscopy control, with minimal residual pneumothorax at left and mild proximal limb weakness. We give her appointment 2 weeks later on OPD, but 2 weeks later, patient presented to ER with dyspnea and pleuritic chest pain with desaturation and stable hemodynamic status. And here, urgent angio CT showed a thrombus occluding the right pulmonary artery. As you see, patient treated by anticoagulation, IVF anticoagulation, and sent to home on antivitamin K. This is the summary of our days, a long case of multimorbidities and complications, starting by pneumonia, ARDS, acute kidney injury, secondary TTP-HS, critical illness myopathy, multiple nosocomial infection, pneumothorax of the bronchopleural fistula, and tracheal laceration, finally, APE. And patient, despite all these complications, was sent to home. Thank you.